today on the Travel Guide.
In the travel news, airport workers at JFK get busted for being liquored up on the job, but it's not what you think.
A historic train station is saved by a local casino. We have the philanthropic update from the Sierra Foothills.
Ever travel to a faraway land and wish you could be a local? We have the answer at 2:35.
One of Sacramento's purest community arts organizations is here at 2:50 to tell us about their upcoming concert sessions.
In our listener talkback segment, in just 10 minutes, you'll have a chance to win food and gas gift cards just for answering a couple of simple travel questions. Don't touch that button. You're about to become a smarter traveler. The Travel Guys with Mark, Tom, and the gang are on the air.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm a traveling man,
king of the road.
Hit the road, Jack.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks. I'm on Route 66.
Miles and turntables.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, my friends, to another edition of the Travel Guys. Tom Romano here, along with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations, right over there. And Mark, as you can probably tell by looking at my hat, I just got back from Paxton, Nebraska.
You're jumping on the bandwagon, are you?
Yeah. No, not really. I've had this hat
this is just the first time you've ever been proud enough to wear it?
No, I wear this as one of my favorite hats. This is the longest surviving hat. I spent some time in Ogallala, Nebraska.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that like along the...
It's along the Lincoln Highway.
There you go. Speaking of which, we're going to talk about the Lincoln Highway a little bit.
Are we going to tell the people what hat you're wearing?
It's from Ole's Big Game Steakhouse in Paxton, Nevada. When I was there, actually on a business trip for the radio station, we ate at Ole's, and it's pretty interesting place in that there every square inch of every wall,
uh-huh,
and in every possible corner where you could put something has a stuffed animal,
uh-huh,
and you know, a big game animal. In fact, including a giraffe. And an elephant head. This guy was, Ole was a big game hunter, and there's pictures with him with celebrities hunting.
Is this going somewhere in particular? Because we only have an hour.
You asked. Well, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us. We got a lot of fun stuff and some great prizes today.
We do.
Chances for listeners to win some stuff.
Free food and free gas coming up. Wait for the signal to call, and we will tell you how to win.
All right. With that being said, let's move it along. I can tell Mark's in a hurry to get things done, friends. So
I have a list of stuff here to talk about out the door.
The counter is covered with valuable travel information. Beginning with, ladies and gentlemen, the travel news.
On the day before the 11th anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks on the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center, the city's mayor, Michael Bloomberg, and the governors of New York and New Jersey signed an agreement that will restart the construction of the Memorial Museum at the World Trade Center. Originally scheduled to open on this year's 11th anniversary, work on the museum had been halted for a year due to a standoff on who should bear construction costs that exceeded original estimates. Only in New York City.
Well, of course.
Despite the fact the museum isn't finished, over 4.5 million people have visited the site's Memorial Plaza in the last year. And that only counts the people who went in. It doesn't count the people who stood outside and took pictures. That would make it the second most popular tourism site in the world.
I'm not surprised.
Is that a monkey in your underwear? Or are you just happy to see me?
Pardon me?
You don't want to be like Michael O'Leary, but if anyone deserves to be called stupid, it's the passenger at New Delhi's International Airport who was caught attempting to smuggle a 7-inch monkey aboard a flight inside his underwear. Yahoo News reports that the man was caught during a routine security check. Whatever you say could get us thrown off the air, so be careful here, would you please?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Moving right along. The New York Times reports that 18 airport workers, you wouldn't have all the places to put the monkey.
Mm-hmm.
The New York Times reports that 18 airport workers were busted for allegedly stealing over 100,000 of those tiny miniature liquor bottles from American Airlines flights that were arriving at JFK Airport. Instead of returning unused liquor bottles to a storage facility, the workers were reportedly stealing the booze and reselling it to co-workers in bodegas. They caught these people. They arrested a gentleman, mm-hmm, who used to work for LSG Sky Chefs. which provides food and beverage service for American Airlines. And when they arrested him at his home in Queens, they discovered over 50,000 miniature bottles of alcohol and $34,000 in cash.
I like those little mini bottles. They're kind of fun.
50,000 of them. Can you imagine?
Yeah, can't get those in your pants.
No. And the Atlanta airport has hired some interesting weed eaters. Did you see this in the news, Thomas?
No, tell me more. That's why I show up every Sunday to get this stuff.
They have hired a group of sheep, a flock. Is it a herd or a flock?
It would be a herd.
A herd of sheep. Okay. Mm-hmm. The gentleman, this is Channel 11 in Atlanta, is reporting that they hired a company called Universally. Universally. EWE is the way it's spelled. Mm-hmm. This is what the guy says about the sheep. They love poison ivy. They eat blackberries that have thorns, and they eat these things willingly. If they have options, they'll still select those kinds of food. As of the program began last Monday, and as of Thursday, the 100 sheep had eaten through nearly half of the waist-high weeds in the test acre lot.
I think it is a flock, by the way.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
A handful of other airports have turned to sheep for vegetation maintenance. Among those was Seattle, which used the sheep for about a year, but ultimately scrapped the idea. You know why?
Why?
Because the airport had to build too many cages to protect the plants it didn't want eaten.
Well, of course. The sheep and goats will virtually eat pretty much anything.
Pretty much anything. Cheers! Disney's Magic Kingdom is going to serve beer and wine at a new restaurant, breaking a 41-year tradition. At the Florida theme park, for the first time, visitors will be able to order a glass of wine or a bottle of beer with their dinner. It's only one restaurant in the park, but it does give folks the opportunity of being an adult when they're in the Magic
Kingdom.
There you go.
That's why I like the Epcot Center. They have that around the world thing around the lake, and you can literally drink your way around the world a beer from each one of those countries.
Sounds like you've tried. Sounds like personal experience.
Ending with a margarita in Mexico.
Aha. All right. And finally, on the travel news, a cruiser has admitted to stealing on a voyage to Bermuda. A judge in Bermuda levied a $4,000 fine on an American vacationer.
He stole on board, meaning he...
He stole goods, stole things while he was on board.
I see.
The Bermuda Sun reports that James Mullen of New Jersey admitted to taking nearly $3,000 worth of items from the spa on Royal Caribbean's Explorer of the Seas as the vessel made its way to Bermuda. The news outlet says Mullen also stole another passenger's Sea Pass card and used it to buy $130 worth of cologne.
Wow, stuff from the spa and cologne. Interesting thief.
This guy had his wife on board the ship, too.
Yeah.
He and his wife were left in Bermuda by the cruise ship, and now will have to find their own way home, the news outlet quoted their lawyer as saying. So there you go. Everything from a monkey in your pants to a guy who steals stuff on a cruise ship.
I am horrified.
No Glenn Beck travel update for today. I know that's going to disappoint a lot of people.
I agree. And then, like I say, I'm horrified. I feel bad for the monkey. I mean... Can you imagine? At any rate, we are the Travel Guys here on KFBK. Mark,
when we come back after the break, your chance to win free food, free gas. If you're at a telephone right now, call 921-1530, 800-834-1530. We'll line up some callers, and when we come back after the news, we'll give you a chance to win some free food and gas.
And then tell you actually why we have you on the phone.
Exactly.
Besides to win some
after
stuff.
After we come back after the break, 921-1530,
800-834-1530.
Call now.
Driving rain, narrow shoulder.
Bumper music.
What is this called, Brandon?
What, Brandon? What's it called?
This song is called Highway Halo by Old Crow Medicine Show.
Well, all right. It's pretty cool.
That's a pretty good song. I kind of like that.
Yeah, it sounds like one of the bands that I got kicked out of.
Yeah.
Very cool. We are the Travel Guys here on KFBK. Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations over there. Tom Romano here. Okay, Mark, we've lined up a number of callers.
We have lined up a whole bunch of callers.
And why did we do that?
Well, we're going to tell them.
He never tells me anything, by the way.
We're going to tell them now. We have to wait just a second because one of our callers is talking, actually, to Julie as we speak. So it's, they went away. All right, we've got four callers on the line, Julie. We'll go with the four that we've got. We've got Amy, Dale, Jason, and Lori. Now, if you're holding on the phone or if you're listening on the air, we're going to set up a premise here, and then you'll each have an opportunity to guess. The first person to get the correct answer will be the winner and will win a $50 food card.
Food card.
From Cheesecake Factory.
And now, is this food supposed to give you gas?
No,
or are we...
that's a whole separate issue.
That's another
contest. We'll do the gas card afterwards.
Okay, food.
Okay.
We're going food here.
If you're on the line, and for any reason we don't get to you, if somebody gets the correct answer, stay on the line, and we'll let you be part of the next contest, okay? Amy, Dale, William, Jason, and Lori are on the phone. So, Tom.
Yes.
What do you think... What we're going to do is ask our callers to give us the second answer on this list.
Yes.
So what do you believe is the thing that you're most likely to leave behind in a hotel room?
Well, it has to be, in today's modern world, the cell phone charger.
Absolutely. A gadget. A charger for
a charger of some sort.
And
something
I've left
that
my
you...
share.
Yes.
I have left several behind, and you can always recoup them for $49.95 at the nearest Verizon, T-Mobile, whatever store. All right, so the thing that's most often left behind is a cell phone charger or electronic gadget charger. What we're looking for now is what is the second most often left behind thing, and let's go to Amy on line one. Amy, what's your guess?
Shoes.
Shoes.
Awesome guess.
That's an incredible guess.
Yeah, now, the way this is going to work, by the way, Mark's going to take the guesses.
Uh-huh.
We're not going to, like, give you the answer.
No, we're
okay?
not.
We're going to put you on hold and have you hang out for a while. And what's going to happen, if I understand correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong.
We're going to get all the guesses.
Whoever's answer is the highest on the list in regards to most commonly left behind will be the winner of the... $50,000 food card that Mark has.
That's a $50 food card. But Amy says it's shoes. Let's see what Dale on line two thinks. Dale, what do you think is the second most often thing left behind in a hotel room?
I would say my alarm clock, because when you need to get up early, you have to meet that flight. I don't trust myself to be able to figure out their high-tech alarm clock.
Good for you, Dale. I'm with you.
An alarm clock. All right, let's go. Let's move on here. Dale, hold on for just a second. Let's get the rest of the guesses here. William, what do you think is the on line three? What do you think is the second most often left behind thing in a hotel room?
A computer charger.
Okay, we kind of already covered that.
Yeah, that's like the number one thing. Either a computer charger or a phone charger, any kind of an application charger was the number one. So we're gonna skip that one, William. What else would you guess?
Cell phone.
A cell phone. Okay,
the phone itself.
We got shoes,
okay.
And
excellent.
We got a cell phone. All right, let's go to Jason on line four. Jason, what do you think the most often thing is left behind in a hotel, or the second most often thing left behind in a hotel room?
Glasses.
Glasses.
Glasses, okay. Another good guess.
That's an excellent guess. All right.
Erin is just beside herself and beside you right now.
Can I say something that I have forgotten in a hotel room that's probably not, I'll keep it clean?
Uh-huh.
Underwear. I've left underwear in a hotel room.
All right.
Okay.
So we got glasses, shoes, cell phone, underwear from the sidebar here. Let's go and get Lori's guess here on line
and
five. Lori,
underwear is still an optional guess because Aaron can't win.
All right. Let's get Lori up here on line five. Hi, Lori. What do you think is the second most often left behind thing in a hotel room?
Shampoo.
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 Okay.
Are you
right.
talking about your shampoo that you bring or the
yes.
complimentary shampoos
no,
that
both.
You should be taking?
Shampoo that you bring.
Okay.
All right. Put Lori back on hold for a second here, and let's go back. Let's see. We had shoes. We had cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
We had glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Glasses was a very good guess, but it was, but it's not the right guess. It's the second to the right guess. Glasses are the third most often thing left behind. Glasses or a book they put together. So the second most often left behind thing.
Are we revealing that at this moment in time?
Our very first caller had it correct when she said shoes.
Ooh.
Is the most often left. I'm guessing because you put those in a strange place. You know, maybe someplace or they go under the bed or...
Well, that's beds that have a go under. A lot of them don't anymore.
All right. Our first caller was our winner with shoes. I cannot see her name on the screen right now. All right, to the rest of our callers, thank you for playing.
That was Amy.
That was Amy. Okay. So for the rest of all callers, thank you for playing. We're going to clear the phone board.
No. Are these folks going to get to stay on for
the No, they had a guest, so no? they all got a chance. So they're out of here.
Well, all right. Thanks for listening. Jason, and Lori, and Aaron.
Yeah.
In her underwear.
And Aaron in her underwear. Yes, exactly.
Or not.
All right.
I just have.
So let's get some new callers now, and let's talk about the World Happiness Report, a snapshot of the state of happiness in the on the planet. So what we're going to ask
and we're talking about cities.
We're talking about countries.
We're doing countries. Happiest countries. And that's based on what kind of research,
Well, I don't
want
to kind of say that because
research?
Somebody will Google it
and they'll know
what the answer is. So we'll just say happiest place to live. If you'd like to take a guess, 921-1530 or 800-834-1530. And we will line up some guesses here in just a moment. And we will see. We will give away a $50 gas card.
Good. All right.
All right.
Did we want to go ahead and talk to Rich Hoffman now and do that? Or do you got something else you want to do?
Well, let's talk to Rich after the break.
Okay.
We'll talk to Rich after the break. I went up on the Lincoln Highway yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I heard you were going to go. We talked about that last week. Now, of course, the Lincoln Highway is pretty long.
Yeah, some folks know that.
You picked a particular section
from Sacramento up to Truckee.
Up east.
And if you're a highway historian or you're interested in that sort of thing, there have been three ways to get over the Sierra Nevada. The Lincoln Highway was the first.
Mm-hmm.
It became U.S. 40 in 1926,
mm-hmm.
and then it became U.S. Interstate 80. In the early 60s.
Wasn't that the one the Donner Party took? Did they take the
Well,
Lincoln
if they
Highway?
Had, they would have probably done better. But you can actually, Thomas, it's fascinating. You can go up to Donner Summit, and mm-hmm. you can see from U.S. 40, you can look across the canyon and see the remnants of the old Lincoln Highway along the cliff there. And yesterday was a spectacular day, and we had a wonderful time. We had some of the Lincoln Highway folks on board with us, and boy, we really had a tremendously good time. It was a great day to be up in the mountains, and you would never know that you can drive almost all the way to Truckee and never be on the interstate, and you can find some fascinating things. I know Steve LaRosa is going to be with us next week.
Next Sunday.
And Steve's going to talk about some of the places that you can visit, literally Rockland, Penryn, Loomis, Newcastle.
Some great little stop-in
places.
There
really are some fascinating places, and I think people who live around here sometimes overlook some of the neatest places. All right, we're going to be up against Aaron in the news. So if you have called in to try to win our gas card, we will take your guesses right after the break. So if you can hold on for 5 minutes, we'll get Aaron in the news, and we'll come back and give away a gas card. We'll talk to Rich Hoffman from the Jackson Rancheria about a really neat project that the casino is working on. And we'll go to the mailbag to talk about my TSA rant from last week. We are the Travel Guys.
Right here on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK.
Welcome back to the Travel Guys. 4 minutes past the bottom of the hour. Nobody ever gives a time on the radio anymore.
Who cares about the time?
Does anybody ever really know what time it is?
No one really cares. Does anybody really know what time it is?
Does anybody really care?
Yeah, you know, I'm commuters on the way to work, on the way home. We at KFBK, we do make an effort to bring people up to date. But other than that, you know, especially on the weekend, that's about the last thing I think about is the time, except for, of course, time being on time for this radio program.
Uh-huh.
Welcome, everyone.
Yeah, we have some people who have... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step over you there. Go again.
No, that's okay. We are the Travel Guys, as Mark said, and let's continue on with our little contest.
Well,
we have a
contest that we started here before the break, and we have mm-hmm. Four people waiting patiently on hold for us here. We're talking about the World Happiness Report. Where would you want to go to as a traveler
mm-hmm.
to find the happiest people on the planet? So we have four people online here. We have five possible, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The person who guesses the country that is the highest on the list will win the $50 ARCO gas card.
This will be fun.
I think so. So if you're one of our contestants, just you give your guess. We'll put you back on hold. And then once we've gotten all four guesses, we'll come back and let you know who the winner is. So let's go to line one and talk to Sherry. Hi, Sherry.
Good afternoon to you.
Hi, Sherry.
Hello.
Sherry, where do you think the happiest country in the world is?
Denmark.
You think it's Denmark,
and
huh?
why would you guess that, Sherry?
When you asked that, I remembered hearing it on television some time back, I think. I was going to say Polynesia somewhere, but then Denmark jumped in my head.
Okay.
All right. That sounds legitimate. Let's put Sherry on hold there. Let's go down the line here and see what Betty thinks. Betty, what do you think the happiest country on the planet is?
I think it's the United States.
You think it's the United States?
It has to be a democratic company. It has to be a society, a democratic.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's a very, very, very good point. I would say that it would have to be someplace where people have
a little more freedom.
A little more freedom, mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, let's go to Stephen here and see what he thinks. Stephen, we got Denmark and the United States so far. What do you think the happiest country in the world is?
I think the happiest country was Amsterdam, and I'm going to change my answer to Canada.
You're going to change
Canada,
okay,
huh?
Canada, okay. All right.
Have you been there?
No, but I know a lot of cool people from there.
And they're happy people.
Seems that way.
Outstanding.
I can't imagine why that would be. All right, let's put Steve back on hold there and get down to Robin here. Robin, we have guesses of Denmark, the United States, and Canada. What do you think is the happiest country on the planet?
Finland.
Okay, yeah. Finland. Why would you say Finland? That's kind of an interesting guess.
Well, I'm actually currently living there, so...
Wow, long distance from Finland. My gosh, we've got a signal.
Yes, we do. I'm actually here back in California just for a short visit.
Okay. But, are you from California, Robin?
Yes, I am.
Oh, cool. How long have you been in Finland?
A year, and we'll be there one more year.
And you like it there, obviously.
I love it there.
What's the best thing about Finland?
Oh, my gosh. The people are wonderful. It's incredibly clean. It's very organized, well infrastructure. It's just the happiest place on the earth.
That's about as good an answer as you could possibly ask for from somebody who's there, nonetheless.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so Sherry picked Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
Betty said the U.S., Stephen said, first he said Amsterdam, which I'm guessing would have been the Netherlands, but we'll excuse him for that for obvious reasons. And he settled on Canada, and mm-hmm. then Robin told us Finland.
So, Robin, I kind of wish, and now that I'm looking at the results here, I kind of wish that Finland was, because she just made it seem so much fun.
Like a really great place, yeah. Didn't she? Yeah, well, and it seems kind of inhospitable to not make Robin our winner. However,
yeah.
Robin, Finland is the second happiest place on the planet. The United States, Betty, did not make the top five, although you were correct in saying it would have to be a democratic country because all the countries in the top five were democratic. Canada was number five that Stephen picked. And the Netherlands, which Stephen was also around, was number four. Norway was the one that nobody mentioned at three. Number two was Finland. And indeed, Sherry, who was our first guesser, remembered her geography well.
And what she saw on TV.
And what she saw on TV. Hi, Sherry.
Hello.
Hey. So
what
the
thrill.
Your memory served you well. You've got about half a tank full of free gas coming
your
way.
Well, that's super. I'm glad my memory is so well. I'm 72, so.
Hey, well, there you have you ever been to Denmark, Sherry?
No, I have not.
Have you traveled in Europe at all? Or?
Oh, yes. And we're going on the mystery trip with you next month.
Oh, this is a sports leisure traveler on here. Thomas, do you know that folks actually sign up to go traveling not knowing where it is that they're going?
That's right.
Sherry, what are you thinking, traveling to no place you have no idea where you're going with people like Mark Hoffman and those sports leisure vacationers?
Well, we trust them so much, and we did take a mystery trip once before, and it was just a lot of fun.
Was it? So. Where did you go?
We went to British Columbia, way up, Sandspit, British Columbia.
Oh, okay. They went to the Queen Charlotte Islands.
Yes, yeah, way up there.
Yeah, well, we're not going to the Queen Charlotte Islands.
I think I have an idea where we're going. But
Sherry, we can't go into that on the air because we'd have to bleep you. Congratulations on a great memory and a lucky guess and $50 worth of free gas, compliments of the travel guys. I'm going to put you back on hold.
Okay.
And Julie's going to get some information from you, and then we will make sure that you get it. And I will look forward to seeing you at the airport in a couple of weeks.
That's right.
All right. Okay. Thank you. It's always nice when someone in the family wins.
There you go.
So to speak. Although I would have liked to have seen Robin win because she had such a solid reason for answering giving the answer she gave.
She did. But you know what? She has something even better. She goes to home to Finland where she lives. That's the second happiest, third happiest place on the earth.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have a casino in our area that is doing some really cool things. Let's learn a little bit more about it.
You know, Tom, it's always nice as a person who travels a lot and likes to see cool, neat things, historic things, new things, different things. It's always nice when a business steps in and helps to preserve a piece of history or a piece of culture or something that's important to a community. And I think oftentimes you can tell a lot about a company by whether or not they participate in local charitable and philanthropic things. And it's something we mentioned this on our program a few weeks ago, that the Jackson Rancheria Band of Miwok Indians had made a huge loan to a preservation group to save the historic Ione train station. And I thought it would be interesting to talk to someone from the Jackson Rancheria and find out what the details were behind that. So joining us is Rich Hoffman, the general manager of Jackson Rancheria, online. Hi, Rich.
Howdy.
From one Hoffman to another.
Yeah, about that.
Well, you know, no, I didn't. Are you guys related in any way?
Not that I'm aware of.
Well, then there you go.
We're all related at some point, but it probably goes back a couple hundred years.
So, Rich, there was a train station in a neighboring community there that you guys decided was worth telling me. It's 136 years old. Tell me about this.
Briefly, I think the history goes back to, you know, this was the original train depot in Ione. The railroad called the city on it and said, hey, look, you know, you either need to move this or we're going to destroy it at your expense.
This wonderful old train station that was built in 1876 in the mm-hmm. centennial year. So, Rich, are there volunteers are going to work to restore the station? Do you know what's going to happen to it now?
I think the first plan of action and what we helped fund was just getting it moved down the tracks a bit to some existing city land. And so they're going to pick it up, and there was some expense in buttoning the building up and transporting it a few hundred yards, literally just down the tracks to its new home. And then I think, you know, the long-term plan is to develop that site and, you know, take advantage of the great history of the building and train travel and the fact that Ione was such a hub for getting materials in and out of the gold country. And, you know, there's a great story to tell.
Now, Rich, tell me, why Jackson Rancheria? Why did you get involved in this type of a project?
Well, you know, Jackson Rancheria is involved in, you know, numerous community projects and historical preservation projects in the county. We're redoing all of the parks in the county right now because no one has the wherewithal to do it. So actually our tribal members are out there leading the effort to fix all the parks and get those up to snuff here in Amador County. So, you know, it's nothing new for Jackson Rancheria, but in this particular instance, it was kind of a final hour type situation that we were alerted to. And we're glad to step in and help provide some of the gap funding for that.
I think that is just major cool. Isn't that neat, Tom? I mean, I really think that getting in a situation where you can afford to give back to the community, and heck, state parks and county parks and stuff are such an issue right now.
Yeah, and you know, I think you said it well at the top of the program. It somewhat defines what the people that run this business are made of. By what else that they do besides run their business and make an income, and that is being able to give back to the community. And certainly, I'm sure, Rich, someone like Jackson Rancheria is in a position where on a regular basis you have people that come to you and are looking for support for this thing or that. And it would be real easy to, you know, to, especially with the economy like it is, to be able to say, well, you know, this isn't something that we can afford. But you didn't. You found a way to write it into your budget and to reach out to the community, and we here on the Travel Guys certainly do thank you for that.
Good job, Rich.
Cool. Appreciate it. Great.
Rich Hoffman, the general manager of the Jackson Rancheria, and doing a good job and helping to save a historic train station. Thank you, my friend. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Travel Guys.
All right, we are the Travel Guys, and this is FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK.
And if you were listening last week on this radio program, we had Mark, I don't know if I've ever seen Mark so animated. I mean, he actually pounded the table. In fact, for those that may have missed it, Brandon, do you have that sound clip ready to go for me?
Okay. Here comes the little snippet of the Mark rant.
And I just think it's ridiculous to go to the airport and stand. Tom, those people were moving so slowly that if they'd been moving slowly, they'd been moving backwards. I've never seen anything like it. I've always thought very highly of the TSA people in Sacramento, but I'm going to tell you that they are screwing with the folks of Sacramento, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if they're doing it on purpose, and I would welcome someone from TSA to come on this program and tell me otherwise.
Well, and so we kind of sort of almost partially got our way. We got an email from someone during the week to travelguysradio.com, where you're always welcome to write and get into our mailbag. And it's just said, I work for Sacramento TSA. I heard part of your show last Sunday. It makes me mad because what you said is true. There's a minority of TSA employees who believe that passengers are interrupting them when they stand around and they stand around talking to each other and they're goofing off. The concept of being expected to do your job is idiotic. This person goes on to suggest that you request a comment card if you have an issue with TSA, that they have comment cards available, that requesting one of those cards and sending into the national TSA office with a specific individual's name on it is the way that you get things to happen. However, I would have needed a whole list of names from
a whole stack of cards.
But anyway, ranting on your radio show at the TSA accomplishes nothing. You need to name specific individuals. Local Sacramento TSA management doesn't care if Sacramento goes private. They have golden parachutes courtesy of the federal government. Besides, unemployment looks good. It's signed a hardworking Sacramento TSA officer, says, P.S. no name, as I have to work with these sluggards.
Okay, so this sounds like a legitimate email.
Well, it could be alleged, but interesting. It's interesting. And thanks.
Now, do we find out if they do have those complaint cards?
Well, by golly, we will. We'll have one here next week. I'll be flying out, and we'll talk about them next week. How does that sound?
You know what? Let's do that.
All right. When we come back after the break, we have a couple of wonderful ladies in studio. They're going to tell us about one of Sacramento's cultural arts groups that I consider to be truly one of the real grassroots groups that it costs very little to watch them perform, and they have some performances coming up. They will tell us about them.
Outstanding, right here on KFBK, just a couple of minutes away.
Tonight, I'm going to have myself a real good time.
Brandon, you're on fire, my man.
Oh, Brandon's
coming up with all kinds of good stuff.
Somebody turned Brandon loose.
By the way, I saw Blondie out at the Sacramento, the Sunrise Marketplace Outdoor Pavilion on Friday.
Where you saw Three Dog Night in America, my two favorite groups, a couple of weeks ago.
I didn't get to introduce Blondie, but I did have a private interview with his lead guitar for Classic 93.1. And I saw Terry Fader last night. Up at Thunder Valley, and if you have not seen a Terry Fader show, he's the guy that won America's Got Talent. He's a puppeteer. Awesome.
Didn't do any barbershop quartet
stuff.
The comedian should have won this year instead of the dog act, but that's a whole other issue.
There you go.
Listen, we don't have a whole lot of time here, but we have a couple of wonderful guests in the studio. Patsy and Allison are with the Sacramento Valley Chorus. Hi, ladies.
Hi, Mark.
You have to kind of talk close to the microphone there, so we'll...
Hi, Mark.
Hi.
Hello.
And these... Tom, I was telling you earlier, I don't know a whole lot about the Sacramento Valley Chorus. We've had them in here before. There are members of my travel group who are part of their chorus. It is a true community chorus, right, ladies?
Yes.
It's a not-for-profit group?
That's true.
Tell us, one of you, whoever is handling this, tell us a little bit about how did the chorus come to be and what does it do and what is it about?
The Sacramento Valley Chorus is a division or a region of Sweet Adelines International. And the chorus started in 1979 by a lady named Mary Alice Myers. And she took a lot of members from other Sweet Adeline groups that were kind of struggling, put it together, this wonderful Sacramento Valley Chorus.
So is it all ladies?
Yes, it is all ladies from all over Sacramento area.
And how many ladies make up the choral group now?
We have close to 80 active members.
Okay. So it's a big group.
Yes.
It's a very, very large group. And you do 3 community concerts each year.
Yes.
And your first one is coming up. The first one of the season is coming up very soon. Tell us about it.
It is going to be in Cameron Park at the Cameron Park Community Center, October 13th at 7 p.m., excuse me. And we will be also singing with an award-winning men's chorus called the Gold Rush Chorus. And we will be serving, there will be desserts and wine and beer for sale, as well as raffle prizes. And we really look forward to having everybody there.
Wow. So you're, so the show is on the 13th, and then you have another show on the 20th. Is that right?
That's true.
Okay.
So your three concerts for the year are kind of all going to be culminating towards the last part of the year. Here.
That's correct.
Yes.
Okay. Now, here again, you say there are 80 folk, 80 gals that in your chorus, and you guys do barbershop style. And I'm guessing that you're always open to new members.
Absolutely. We each and every week welcome prospective new members to come and visit the chorus and sit in on rehearsal and see what we're all about.
When and where do you practice?
We practice every Wednesday night from 6:45 to 9:45 at the DDSO in Sacramento. It is basically a school for developmentally challenged adults, mm-hmm. and that's where our rehearsal hall is. That is where we perform each Wednesday.
Now, the chorus has been in existence for roughly a little over 40 years.
Correct. Then.
And this is a hard time for nonprofit arts groups in the community. How is the Sacramento Valley Chorus doing?
We are doing very well in this economy. We have definitely started doing some outside resources as fundraising with cookie dough, garage sales. We sell entertainment books as well. We're also getting ready to go to Carnegie Hall. We were invited to sing there, and we are so excited.
Wow.
We're going to be doing that at Memorial Day weekend 2013. We were chosen out of many, many Sweet Adeline choruses throughout the world, and we were one of four
chosen.
Now,
will this just be part of the chorus, or will the whole gang get to go?
Well, as many people as we can be able to go.
As many as
it's
we can
very,
get.
Yeah. We have to have a minimum of 50, and I think we have over 60 going. And
wow.
That's just the women. The husbands and families are also coming as well.
To New York City to play
yes.
at Carnegie Hall. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
That's pretty exciting. So for the concert that's coming up on the 13th, mm-hmm. is there a theme to it, or is there a type of music in particular that you're emphasizing?
There is a theme. Our theme for all three of our shows this year is Sacramento Valley Chorus, our past, present, and future. And the music that we will be performing at all three shows, we're taking songs that we've done from shows past, current songs we've been working on, and songs kind of for the future.
And songs that haven't been written yet.
Yeah,
just not quite, but that would be really cool.
Yeah, that would be really
cool.
We
encourage that.
And now a song that yes. no one's ever heard before. So if folks would like to come and hear the ladies sing, how do they get tickets?
They could go to our website, which is www.sacramentovalleychorus.com. And when they go to our main page, they click on the events tab at the top, and it'll download to our how to buy the tickets, if you can do it online as well, or you can call.
Okay, so SacramentoValleyChorus.com, or if you're driving around town and you don't remember that, you can go to TravelGuysRadio.com, where you can find not only a link to their website, but all kinds of interesting travel stuff that we post there throughout the week. Sometimes we don't have time to get everything onto the program. So if you just want to find some interesting things to read, go to TravelGuysRadio.com. And that's where you can get a link to get tickets to go see these and hear the Sacramento Valley Chorus. Patsy and Allison, thank you both for coming in.
Well, thank you for inviting us.
Thank you very much for having us.
We really appreciate it. And good luck with things this year. It sounds like most groups around town, you're hustling. So I wish you well on your ticket sales and wish you good luck on your concert.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So, all right. Yes.
So, Thomas.
Yes.
We are just about done for another week here. Next week, Steve LaRosa is going to join us, your buddy, to talk about. We were talking about some great travel ideas that are literally right here in our own Sacramento area backyard.
Well, you know, Steve has been writing for the Sacramento Visitors Bureau and has been writing about local restaurants and so forth. And so it only seemed natural. He and I got together one day and we're talking about. He's a big fan of the Travel Guys.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, I think I have some stuff that your listeners would be interested in. And
he does.
He hit it right on the head.
Well, he knows this area because he's written so many things in regards to travel and places to go and things to do. And he's been involved in that forever. I can't think of anybody who would be a better travel guy than Steve LaRosa. So Steve will Be back with us next week, and we hope we'll be a regular guest here on the Travel Guys radio show. Speaking of regular guests, Ed Perkins is going to be on with us next week to check in on the consumer travel beat. He'll be alerting us to new hidden fees that are being gifted upon us by hotels and cruise line companies and tell you a little bit about how to avoid them and how to be aware, how to spot them. We'll tell you how you can get tickets to the official kickoff of the cultural arts season in Sacramento. And we didn't have time today to talk to the nice lady from triptrotting.com to tell you how to connect to local right. people mm-hmm. in other places. But we will have that interview for you next week. That's all next Sunday at 2 on the Travel Guys. And Thomas,
yes,
we had a guest a few weeks ago. Remember Carol Van Bruggen, who came in from the Arts and Business Council?
I do.
She has her special event, Safari on the River. It is coming up on September the 23rd in the evening from 4:30 to 8:30. If you would like to get tickets for this very wonderful high-class event, you can go to safariontheriver.com or check out travelguysradio.com. And Carol always does a great party, and the master of ceremonies will be KFBK's own Kitty O'Neill.
There you go. Well, friends, we want to thank our guests, both Allison and Patsy, for coming in. Want to thank our listeners who called in and made some guests, and go home with those, with a gift card for some free food and some free gas.
Absolutely. Remember, we are the Travel Guys, and an hour a week is all we ask. We'll see you next Sunday.
And I'll see you on Classic 93.1 afternoons from 3 to 7. Have a great Sunday, folks.